Welcome to the January 11th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's special service includes the ordination and installation of our newly elected deacons. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always know when it's time to get started. We are glad that you are here for worship this morning at College Park. We welcome you, whether members or guests. We are glad that you are here. We would like to find out who is in worship with us this morning. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you, members and guests alike, to write your name down on inside the pew pad. Let everybody have a chance to write that down, so send it down to the end of your pew. And we do ask, once it gets to the end and everybody's had a chance to sign it, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask, once it gets back to the beginning, that first person who signed it, when it gets back to you, if you could take out the pages that were used today so our ushers can get those at the end of the service, that will be extremely helpful. We are very thankful for your attendance in worship today. Several announcements we want to make as we get started. A reminder to our children, we are having children's celebration today. That takes place in Smith Hall. So during hymn number 601, Teach Me, O Lord, I Pray, we're going to invite all the children to go right out these doors with me into Smith Hall. Parents, that's where you can pick up your child at the end of the service. And so we want everybody to come be a part of children's celebration. This is for children through sixth grade. So we want you to come for that. Reminder to our family ministry team. This is our preschool council, our children's council, and our family enrichment committee. We are having our meeting today at 4 o'clock. We will be in adult 3. And so we hope that you will come to be a part of that at 4 o'clock. Also, for our juniors and seniors in high school, we are headed to Gatlinburg on our junior-senior leadership retreat next week. Make sure that you get those forms in to me as soon as possible. Appreciate you helping me out with that. Also, we are starting, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, our primary basketball league, which is for ages 4 through 3rd grade, for boys and girls alike. We get together for an hour on Thursday evenings to learn about the game of basketball and to have a good time doing it. So we hope that you'll be getting some information about that if your child is in that age range. It's a big time together. We'll start that a week from Thursday. Okay? Let me see. Well, Raymond, come on up.
Wednesday night, I made you aware of something, and I wanted to be sure and announce it this morning for those of you that weren't there Wednesday night. Today, right now, down in Troutman, Watermark Church is celebrating its first anniversary. I know it doesn't seem like a year ago, but College Park, every time I talk with Joel, he just continues to say how thankful they are that College Park had a large hand in helping them get supplies for their children's ministry and their youth ministry and preschool ministry as they were starting up. And they remember that, and they mention that about every time I speak with them. But I know that you would want to know that this is the first anniversary. In their newsletter, we have a few copies out at the Information Center if you want to pick that up. They talk about that a little bit. But they're averaging about 150 in worship now every Sunday, and really starting to pick up some momentum, and wanted you to be aware of that, to where you can celebrate that success with them. And they're very grateful to College Park. I want to let you know that. Also wanted to give you a couple of words of instruction. If you look in your order of service today, I didn't want anything to be awkward when we get to that point, so just to give you kind of a logistical heads up. This is the day that we are going to have a service of installation and ordination for deacons for the coming year. And if you'll look down in that service of installation ordination portion of the service, there's after the covenant of commitment, which you will participate in with the insert in your bulletin, there's a section entitled laying on of hands. This is a part of setting apart and encouragement for the deacons who have not been ordained to this point. And we just want to ask you, they are going to be here at the front, and want to ask those, when we get to that time, those of you that are ordained, either as deacons or ministers, to come if you would like to and be a part of that time of encouragement with the laying on of hands. Those of you that are not ordained, we're not trying to set up any type of caste system or anything here, but just in terms of time, being considerate of people's time, if you would kind of refrain from coming at that point, because those who are being ordained will be here at the front of the service at the conclusion of the service. So you'll have an opportunity to speak with them and encourage them at the conclusion of the service. So I want to ask if you would help us in that regard. That just kind of keeps it at the point where we can respect people's time. So thank you for doing that. And we get to that point in the service, I won't have to give any further instructions and appreciate that. David Shannon, I want to ask you if you would please come at this point.
Thank you. I am here technically on behalf of the Personnel Committee, but in actuality I'm here on behalf of the entire congregation, and I think in particular the young people and the families with young children and our youth department. And several years ago, approximately five, a young man joined our staff here as a minister, and we are not exactly on the fifth anniversary of that, but we are very, very close. And so, Jeff, if you would come forward, please. We just wanted to say thank you very much for all that you've done. I think there's no better evidence than actually last Sunday when we had the baptismal service. I couldn't get that out. But we have a very, very small thank you for all that you've done, and I want you to know how much everybody appreciates it. And I work in the youth department, and I know in particular how much everybody in that department appreciates all that you do, and I think sometimes we don't say it enough, but we want to say it publicly and say thank you. And
thank you.
I'd like to announce my candidacy for President of the United States. No, thank you for those kind words, David, and for everyone. It has been a great pleasure of mine and Jennifer's to be here. And golly, 5 years. 40 is coming quick. But we are honored, and we look forward to several more years, God willing. Thank you. And Lord.
Good morning. Last January, I stood up here to tell you about a new annual offering that's being collected to support the North Carolina WMU. There were some budgetary changes that took place last year at the convention, and the North Carolina WMU is now supported through an annual offering that's given to the Heck Jones Fund. And our church generally collects this offering in January. Our WMU met recently, and it was brought to our attention that the international missions offering we collected in December was about $6,000 short of our $25,000 goal. So we talked about it, and because we think that missions home and abroad is the heart of WMU, we felt like instead of promoting the Heck Jones offering this year, we would promote global missions again, international missions. So in January, instead of asking you to contribute to to Heck Jones, we would like you to prayerfully consider giving your money to global missions, either through Lottie Moon or CBF. So, and just to be clear, we're not going to be not supporting North Carolina WMU. There is some money in our budget that will go toward that. But this mission-minded church, we feel like, wants to support spreading the gospel all across the world. So if you will consider that in January, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Reminder to our youth, we are having normal schedule today. And I think that's all the announcements. Any more? Okay, we're done. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. If you're a guest, you've already given us your information. And we appreciate you doing that. We want to give some information back to you. So if you're a guest, we invite you to just raise your hand as our ushers come back down the aisles. They'd like to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor. as well as the story of College Park and what we believe in, things that we do, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we hope you you enjoy your time today, and we pray this hour of worship will be a blessing for you. It is time for us to focus our hearts on God and God alone. Let us spend the next few moments doing just that.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant. Make me a servant, make me a servant today. Lord, you are our God. You are the one who created us. Lord, the one who has pursued us so that we might follow you and know you. Lord, you are eternal. Consistently loving. Lord, you are holy and perfect and beyond our comprehension. And yet, Lord, as you came and you walked among us, you came and you served. As you washed the feet of your disciples, you turned to them and you told them, I'm your teacher and you learn from me. Learn this as well. Lord, you have created us to serve and to love others. And Lord, this morning as we celebrate those that you have called from out of our midst to serve the congregation, Lord, I ask that within all of us you would place a heart that loves and serves others. Lord, open our eyes to see the need around us. Lord, open our hearts so that we might recognize those who need to know your love. And Lord, open our minds so that we might serve without prejudice, Lord, without fear. Lord, help us to see those around us as you see us. Help us to love those around us as you love us. And help us to serve those around us as you serve us. And this morning as we worship together, Lord, inspire our hearts. Lord, speak to us this morning. And when we leave this place, let us leave changed so that we might go out and change your world. Lord, we praise you, for you are truly wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture text for this morning comes from Romans 12. I'm going to share this as part of responsive reading number 707, which is found in your hymnal. It's easy to find. It's at the very back. It's probably only 20 pages from the back. This is from Romans 12, the first four verses of the chapter, and then verses 6 through 12. The responsive reading is entitled Dedication, and from Romans 12 contains a powerful message about God's calling and service and leadership in his name. Let us read responsibly. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
In one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them
if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving. He teaches in his teaching.
He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, today is a service of dedication, of ordination, of service. We are here to recognize those that have been elected by this congregation to serve as deacons for the next 3 years. Lord, we are grateful for their willingness to serve and for the trust that the congregation has placed in them to lead. Lord, we are grateful for the example you have given us of what a true servant leader should be. For the congregation is the people that lead, and the leaders are the one that follow. Lord, thank you as we come to this time of the service where we can give back what you have so graciously and so abundantly blessed us with. Lord, may these offerings be used in your kingdom to do the good deeds that need to be done. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for being our God, our friend, our protector, and our Savior. For in thy name we pray. Amen.
I have the best seat in the house. If you could sit there and hear that, it's magnificent. Thank you, choir. Magnificent. As we get ready to enter in a time of installation ordination, I would like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you for the group of deacons that have worked with us this week, this year. Seems like only a week since we were here, but they have been an incredible group of men and women to work with. They truly are servant leaders. I know within the context of being an incorporated church, they are officially our corporate officers. But they do not act like a corporate board in any manner. They are truly servant leaders, and we really appreciate. And I hope that you will take an opportunity to speak to them and let your appreciation be known to them as well. Kent Hobson, this past year has served as chairman of deacons. And so as we get ready to say thank you again to those who are completing service, we want to make it very clear they're only completing service in the sense they're completing service in terms of the active council. They are not completing service in terms of being a deacon. Our Constitution is very clear. They will always retain the title of deacon, and we challenge them always to retain the servant's heart of being a deacon, continuing on and ministering to this body, to this congregation of believers, and I know that they will. So, Kent, if you would come.
It's my honor to recognize the six deacons that have ended their active three-year term as deacons here in College Park. I'm very grateful for their service. I'm honored to be their friends. It's just been a pleasure for me to work with these folks. And I know it's as a relief for them to hear their name called out. If you are here today and I call your name, please stand so the congregation can see the deacons that are leaving the active service. Clara Edmonds, Carolyn Ely, Ed Hendricks, Robert Huff, Charlie Jones, and Jeff Rawls. These are the deacons that have served this church faithfully for the past 3 years. Thank you. You may be seated. We are grateful to your service. We appreciate the time. We appreciate your faithfulness and your willingness to serve in a leadership capacity here at the church. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce Chris May at this time. If he would come, I'll be making his way to the microphone here. Chris is going to be our chairman for this coming year, for the 09 year, and he wants to say a word of introduction to those who are going to be installed this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the other chairpersons will understand this. When you're asked to be chairperson of the deacons, and I fortunately was asked by Charlie Jones, which is kind of difficult to say no, when he calls you with such excitement. And so I have a tendency, a fault of not knowing when to say no. So I thought about it and graciously agreed to do this. And I think the first thought after I got off the phone and I was talking about it with Melissa, it wasn't, how do I serve? How do I do the right thing? I don't want to mess anything up. It was more or less, we were wondering, how are we going to entertain the deacons at the end of the year function? Because we have to follow Charlie and Kim, who had like a lasagna lunch and great. And then Kent and his family opened up their home and had just food all over, everywhere. And not only that, if anybody wants to have hardwood floors installed, Kent is an amazing, where is he? There he is, yes. He did an amazing job, apparently, with his own hardwood floors. So if anybody wants to check with him on that. What I would also like to just say is to thank the deacons for the opportunity to serve as chairperson for this year. I do look forward to working with the current deacon board and all of our other deacons as we look to make 2009 a great year of service to God. We do have some challenges ahead of us, but I'd like to look at those more as opportunities that we can really make ourselves shine in 2009. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce four individuals. First one is Larry Burnett. Larry has been a member for 6 years. He's married to Cheryl, and they have two children, Joseph and Sarah, who are both in college. His service includes youth Sunday school teacher, involvement with the music program, a member of the personnel and youth councils, and he also coaches the junior co-ed basketball team and works with the Boy Scouts. It will be interesting for me to work with him this year on the Deacons because, for those who don't know, his Richmond Spider football team defeated the Appalachian State Mountaineers, my old school, and so we'll have to get through some difficulties, I'm sure, but we'll make it. John Crabb has been a member for 39 years. He's married to June, and they have two children, Charles and Deborah. They also have three grandchildren. His service over the years includes many committees and activities, Sunday school teaching, and most recently a member of the Budget and Finance Committee. And he will be celebrating, he and June will be celebrating 50 years of marriage next month. So congratulations. The next is Tony Perkins. He has been a member for 34 years. He's married to Nira, and they have three children, Carmen, Adam, and Emily, and a granddaughter, Reagan. His service includes various committees and assignments, but most rewarding as a source of spiritual growth is the last several years of leading Sunday morning Bible study with the Shepherd class. And lastly, Sarah Talley. Sarah has been a member for 30 years. She's married to Russell, and they have one son, Russ. Her service includes WMU, Phoebe Group, ushering, nursery and preschool, and college mission trip. And with that, I'd like to turn it back to you.
Larry Burnett was introduced during that portion, and Larry has been ordained. He was ordained in another church, but we wanted him to have an opportunity to come share with you his journey, what has brought him to this day. And so, Larry, if you would come.
Chris, it shouldn't be too hard. I'm married to an Appalachian girl, so I get to gloat for 1 year. So anyway, it probably won't be I'll be giving you tickets next year. How's that? I have a very conventional Christian growth as far as what many of us have grown up in Christian homes. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. Mother and father were very strong Christians, grew up in the church. But my mom and dad had two distinct spiritual gifts, and they also had two distinct backgrounds. They were country and city. So in the summer, when I was old enough to work, I spent 2 weeks on the farm baling hay, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, going to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening, and learning what hard country living, good clean living is like. My father grew up in the city. So I spent summers in college and high school working the newspaper across the street from where he worked at the savings and loan and learning a little bit about what it was like to work downtown. But if I had to look at what my life, my spiritual growth has been like, I would honestly have to say it's like a stairway. At times the steps are very steep. Other times they're very gradual and very comfortable to walk up. And sometimes the good Lord puts me on a landing. Yes, my steps have landings. And when I have to look at virtues I have, one virtue I have is patience. Now, some of the kids up there are going, Mr. Burnett says he has patience. Well, I hate to see what patience isn't. But I do have, my wife will tell you, I have a gift of patience, and it's a virtue for me. And I think it's helped me to understand God's plan and his time frame. And at times, yes, my patience runs thin, but that's because of age, I guess. But a little bit to understand my walk is to understand my parents' walk. My mother had the spiritual gift of nurturing and caring. She was, her mother, who was a country girl, was one of 14. Yes, they had children to work the farms. They couldn't buy help. They had to raise their own farm help. And with all those 14 children, there were a lot of relatives that my mother chose to take and help when they had health issues, when they needed to be driven to the doctor. And she did it for many, many years. Same token, she was a high school teacher for 40 years. Now, I was bused to her high school during the racial tension of the 70s, early 70s. I did not want to go to school because the school was 90% black. I didn't want to go to the high school because my mother taught there. Because many of the athletes and friends I'd played with in summer school and in the summer leagues were African American. So that wasn't an issue for me. I didn't want to go to the same school where my mother taught. But my mother had a very caring, nurturing fashion. Now, this was a lady that taught accounting in high school. At one point, she failed 40% of her class. Yet, this, I hear a lot of, oh, my goodness, boy, I wouldn't want her. But many of these students wanted her back. I would listen to her on the phone with these students at night calling her and her counseling them and talking to them. She really loved the kids and wanted to do what was best for the kids. So my mother had a strong gift of nurturing and caring. My dad had a special spiritual gift, and that was humor. And it was a gift that I watched him take me as a young boy to a hospital to visit a dying patient. I'm in the medical field, so you hear me say patient is out of habit. A dying friend. And in there watching him cheer that person up, telling them jokes, and having this person sit up in the bed and start laughing, and all of a sudden forget about their problem. And I've gone with my dad several times to do that. He also had a crazy humor. In his 70s, my dad lived to be 98 plus years. In his 70s, I watched him one Halloween dress up as an old woman. Took my grandmother's dress, a wig, a stole, had a fake dead chicken, put it in a basket, and went around to the neighbor's house and was trying to trade a chicken, dead chicken, for candy. Well, the neighborhood would talk about it for years and months and days, but they always looked at my dad as someone who would cheer people up. But that gift of humor was very special. His favorite expression, which I've never forgotten, was, and don't, I hope nobody gets offended and I'll explain it, his favorite expression was, "I hate old people." What did he mean by that? If you were mean-spirited, grumpy, negative, it didn't care what age you were old. And he liked being around positive people, and he liked people looking at other people positively. When I look at a mixture of my parents, my spiritual gift is a little bit of a mixture of both of them. But mine is working with youth. Since I was 19 years old, I've coached sports. My daughter's team, I'm starting to tear up thinking about that. Boy Scouts, Sunday school teacher. Gosh, I was a Sunday school teacher. It's been a long time, and I'm glad to be teaching the 9th and 10th graders. They're really an inspiration to me, and the kids have gone on before it. And, folks, we have a great future with the kids we have in this church. We have a great future. And my mother's nurturing strengths gave me the kindness and patience. Yes, I have patience, kids, to work with youth. And my father's humor gave me the opportunity to laugh with kids and enjoy the funny things in life. I mentioned to you that my walk is like a stairway, and I think of the old song Stairway to Heaven. Led Zeppelin, is that right? Okay. Stairway to Heaven. And one of those times that I got placed on the landing was when I was about 23 years old. I broke my leg very badly, had a pulmonary embolus, almost lacked 30 minutes from dying. During that time, I had a cast up to my hip for 4 months. It was on my right leg, so I couldn't drive. And during this time, I was 23. I had money to burn. I had a good job, new car, and I was hitting the high road. But God needed to slow me down. And for that time period, he helped to make me realize that because I had a badly broken leg and had to depend on other people, that was what I was forgetting. I was forgetting the simple things in life, simply driving a car, walking. I couldn't walk for several months after I had to cast off, and depending on people. And I even missed a promotion at work. But God slowed me down and gave me a chance to really think about where I needed to be and start appreciating the simpler things in life. He also gives me some direction while I'm on that landing. He gives me a chance to reflect and think. One of those times I was struggling in work. I was working for two large national companies, and as you know, national companies go through mergers, and people lose positions, and companies start thinking less of their employees and less of their customers. And I was going through a time like that, and I was just miserable. My wife will tell you, I was coming home, and I was just miserable. And in a men's study group, we happened to study a book, and I believe the author is Patrick Morley, A Man in the Mirror. And I don't know if any people have read it, but in that book, it talks about a man, how he views his family and his Christian life. And it talks about the simplicity of life. And that book really gave me the courage when I started reading to 12 years ago, go into business for my own. Now, never been in business for my own. And since then, I've been self-employed for 12 years. And it gave me the view and the realization that, one, money isn't everything, and your family and your happiness and your spiritual life is everything. And that's what I've tried to live by. And if anybody, any man, male, female, wants to read the book, it's Man in the Mirror by, I think it's Patrick Morley. And then he also does Seven Seasons of Man, which is a great book. God also on this stairway puts me into special times with special people. And sometimes on that stairway, he puts me on an escalator. And if you've ever been on an escalator, you know it takes all the load off your feet. Well, 25 years ago, he gave me my wife. And in fact, he was so pleased that I was listening to him when we met, he only let us date 9 or 10 months. Then we got married. And here we are 25 years later. Two beautiful children. God knows how much I can tolerate. He knows how much I can take before he finds an easier pathway for me. This church has been a nice climb for me. It's been a slow climb. It's been an easy climb. I can't believe that you let me in to serve on committees, teach your youth, work with your youth, sing in the choir when I can. And Marissa's probably wondering, now she knows why I sat down there today, but but I also tell my youth, you never know when your actions, your kindness, your spoken, unspoken words touch somebody. They may not touch them today, tomorrow, a year from now, but they have an effect. And two quick stories. Many, many years ago, I was at a Baptist men's function. I happened to sit at a dinner table on Friday night. And they were doing a presentation, I think, on the Belarusian seminary, I believe. And at that table was a big man with a booming voice talking about his church's views on missions. I kept thinking, man, that'd be a great church to be involved with. And then a few years later, we were at a small church that was struggling with having youth. And I saw something in the Pilot Baptist newsletter about a youth retreat in November at Ridgecrest. And I called the sponsoring church. We were past the date. And I got this nice youth pastor that said, sure, bring them on. Send me the registration. You can send the money later. But our kids were allowed to go to it, even though it was past the date. Well, those two people are Raymond Smith and Roger Jones. And to seal the deal, when we came to visit this church, and we went home after visiting, Carolyn Ely came out to visit our home in Clemens. And after she left, I told Cheryl, why not? Nowhere else to go but College Park. And so you have blessed me, and I just hope I can just return the favor just a little bit. Where is my stairway today? It is smooth and gradual. There are challenges of business and life that creates distraction, but God surrounds us with loving support. God has blessed me with a chance to once again serve as a deacon, to be a servant for him in this church. I hope I am worthy of this opportunity, and I appreciate the confidence that this body has in me. God is truly great, and he has led my family to be among a very, very special group of people. Thank you.
Those that will be ordained today are Van Krotz and Barbie Morgan, and without giving personal introduction to them, I know you know them, and they will probably say quite a few words of introduction of their journey as well. So I'll ask Van if he would come, and after Van completes his words, Barbie, you can just follow on without further introduction.
Good morning. The garage. Many years of nudging and persistent discussions have brought me to this place, and I appreciate that. Roger's been an important part of my my walk at this church. He's, for many, many years, has asked me to consider to put my name as a deacon, and I appreciate that persistence and consistent encouragement. I'd like to share with you a few things, if I could. Very briefly, I grew up here in Winston-Salem. My folks are still members of the First United Church of Christ in Walltown, and that's where I grew up. And the first faith walk I had was probably through the confirmation services that 12-year-olds undergo in the United Church of Christ. And that's more of a corporate type of faith walk. You take classes on Sunday afternoons, and after about 6 months of confirmation class and study, you become a member of the church. Your crying's going to get me crying here in a minute, Beth. But that was a great experience. Grew up in a church, and I think the personal feelings that I had at that time were primarily cultural in nature and more public, not private. And I was very fortunate to many years later to go to Raleigh, NC State University, and became very active and was led to a group called Navigators. That's a Christian campus ministry, and that was a great experience. I met some young men that were very influential, and at that point I probably would have to say that I took Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Those 4 years were outstanding. We had dorm Bible studies. We played intramural sports together. It was a great time. The next step that I had was many years later when I was back, joined the family business and went back to Raleigh. And one of my friends from my dorm who moved back in Raleigh was actually living there, and he was active in a church, Trinity Baptist, North Raleigh. And he invited me to attend that church with him. And that was a tremendous step. And, of course, that's where Sally and I met. I wasn't going to do this. But at that point, we had a great young adult ministry. There were probably 6 to 10 couples that actually met and married in that group. It was a great experience, and I actually joined the Baptist Church and was baptized in 1987. I think we were transferred back here to Winston-Salem in 94, and that's when we found this church. And quick little story about our first connection. We renovated our kitchen when we moved here, and we had our cabinetry replaced. And the people that were doing the removal said there's a church in town that would use these cabinets. And great. And Sally called this fella, and this big old booming Roger Jones came over to the house and picked up our cabinets. And that was our first experience with College Park. But we visited a couple weeks later, and actually the first Sunday school class was you and Wes's class. And we were very, very much at home very, very soon. It's been a great experience. There's three things that this church that I'd like to bring out that I really enjoyed and would encourage you to take advantage of if you could. I had the opportunity to participate in two mission trips. The first was down in the Pine Tops area after Hurricane Floyd had devastated that region. There was a group of us, about 6 or 8, that participated in a mission trip to help recover a household that had been severely damaged. And that was a tremendous experience of demonstrating God's love in our life and helping this couple get along. And the people that went on that trip became lifelong friends. Mission trips have a way of doing that. And the next was a trip to Gulfport, Mississippi, about 4 or 5 months after Hurricane Katrina. There was a group of us, about 6 or 8, I believe, that went down there. Barbie was in that group, and that was a great experience as well. And the second thing that I'd like to talk about is the men's Bible study that occurs every Saturday morning. Mr. Jerry here is kind of like Roger, he's nudged for many years, invited me very patiently. Finally, one Saturday, I attended, and I've essentially not missed since. It's a great group of about a dozen men that get together every Saturday about 7 o'clock. We have Bible study for about an hour. It's a great, great group. And I encourage any men in the congregation, you're more than welcome to participate. Raymond asked us to share with you a few thoughts about our feelings about becoming a deacon. And my first feeling is thankful. I'm humbled to be invited and ordained and asked to lead, and thankful, Roger, for your persistence and consistent nudging. I'm also a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious about serving, not quite sure what to expect, but I'm prepared to do my very best for you. And I'd like to make a special statement to my family and my friends in this church that I'll give you my commitment to be the very best deacon I can for College Park Baptist. Thank you.
Well, my letter said we're supposed to speak 3 to 5 minutes. If we were in Toastmasters, the first two would be disqualified. I'm going to try to qualify. I have been a Christian for many years. I was fortunate to grow up in a family that went to church. So in sixth grade, attending a little Baptist church in Columbia, South Carolina, I was baptized. But in high school, when I was a senior in high school, I made a more mature commitment and really fully surrendered myself to Christ. And I feel like I've been on a growing learning curve since then. In July of 2004, for the few visitors who are here, we learned that my husband, Wes, had stomach cancer. That was devastating, but we made a promise to each other. We promised to pray. We prayed for healing, miraculous healing, and we asked our friends to pray. This church prayed. Thousands of people prayed. Now I'm going to copy the rest of you. I think I can do this. Second, we sought to glorify God no matter what. It didn't matter what direction the disease went. We wanted to glorify God. And third, we made a commitment to not ask why. That is a question that there's not a good answer to. We don't need to know. God is not responsible for telling us why things happen. So we didn't ask why. In August of 2005, our prayers were answered, and scans showed that the cancer was gone, totally gone. The doctor said it was a miracle. We said it was a miracle. We hallelujahed. We prayed. We shouted. We almost got Pentecostal there for a little while, but we didn't. We didn't. So don't worry. But it was a miracle. But then in November of 2005, the cancer was back. Oh, I wasn't going to do this. I'm sorry. That was very hard, but we stayed the course. We maintained our commitments to each other and to God. I learned that prayer needed to be to ask for healing, but to really desire God's heart. Whatever plan God had was the right plan. And Rita, quit wiping your eyes there. I learned to fully surrender my desires and seek God's. It was a time of deep introspection and painful conversation with God. In March of 2000, Wes was very sick, and God made a scripture jump off the page. He doesn't do that for me very often, but he has once in a while, so I knew what was going on. There was a passage that I just thought I was reading like a normal person reads, and it glowed like it was special, and it was. It was 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Sorry. It says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." Ooh. I came prepared. "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which Christ the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day." Give me a minute. I knew that my husband would receive that crown. And he ran a good race. I looked at death from that perspective. Sometimes people will ask me, who don't see me often, they'll ask me how my husband's doing. I say, he's doing great. He has his crown. And he's in heaven. That time of suffering turned to glory because we were able to learn God's lessons and we were able to be in his presence. Hard as it was, I rejoice that like Daniel and others who walked through a lion's den or a fiery furnace or anything that's hard, God's with you in the hard places. God gives you glory and joy in the hard spots. The me that is now is different from the me that was before. I have a deeper commitment to God. I have no fear. I look at every decision by first asking, will this bring glory to God? I pray a lot and I wait a lot. I'll serve as a deacon with the same lessons. I will pray a lot and I'll wait a lot. I'll wait for God's leading on any decisions that are made. I'll seek the actions that give glory to God. I thank you for this opportunity. And I'll try to serve God in the same way that gives him glory. Thank you.
If you would, in your order of service, there is an insert entitled Vows of Deacons to be Ordained on one side of the page, and then it continues. This is our covenant of commitment. I want to ask those who are being ordained, Barbie, if you would stand, Van, if you would please stand. Today you've been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon, and today we've come to formally ordain you to that office. But before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office as a deacon, some of which are to be a fellow servant of Christ with a pastor in the church, to set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, to be a leader with the pastor in seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, and to seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? I want to ask you to remain standing, and I ask those who are being newly installed if you would join them in standing, please. You've been elected to serve as a deacon of College Park. You've declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you accept the office of deacon to this church and promise to faithfully perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose for his church and cooperate with the pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? I want to ask those who are continuing in active service if you would join this group in standing, please. Do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, please let it be known by standing of which you are already doing so. Now for the church. Do you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourselves anew to the person of Christ and his church? Do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, would you please stand? And now, as your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the congregation, to remember the covenants we've made with each other and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to ask Van and Barbie if they would come take a place in kneeling. And for those of you that are participating in the laying on of hands, if you would please begin at this time. For the rest of you, I'm sorry, Okay. All right. For the rest of you may be wondering, well, what do we do at this time? You know, there's a whole lot of stuff that we're not participating in. I invite you, as the organ plays, to reflect upon your journey, your pilgrimage. They've shared, in terms of stairway and other imagery, about their journey to this day. I challenge you to think back and reflect on how God has brought you to this point in your life. Let's have prayer together. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together as your children, to think about ministry and what that means, to reflect and to think about taking care of one another and what that means as a church and as individuals. We thank you for an incredible congregation that you've given us to serve and to work in, to worship and to work, to serve you. Father, we pray for Van, and we pray for Barbie. We pray for their families, and we pray that you would enrich their life beyond their wildest expectation as they seek in turn to serve and to minister through your strength, through the power of the Holy Spirit. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen. We want to give you a chance to respond. I don't know what that would be this morning. Perhaps as you've reflected on your journey, you say, I don't know that I'm a Christian. If that's the case, I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you said, well, I am a Christian, but I'm not sure I've been faithful to all that God has called me to. That may be a place of service in this congregation, in our community. I don't know for you what that may be, but I would want to give you an opportunity to say yes to God this morning. So you can do that certainly where you are, or you're welcome to come share that with us this morning if you would like to do that. The altar will be here, and you're welcome to come and pray here at the altar. If you're a believer and you would like to come and be a part of this congregation, we have a number of ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever you would like to decide, whatever decision you would make this morning that God would be leading you to make, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I want to ask you if you would remain standing, please. Van, if you would join me, and Barbie, if you would come. I promised you a chance to speak to them, and you'll have that opportunity following the benediction. But this time I want to present to you, Van, your certificate of ordination, as well as a new Bible. I challenge you to continue reading and studying God's Word daily as He continues to empower you for the journey that you're on. Barbie, for you, certificate of ordination and a new Bible as well. I know that you'll wear that one out too.
I hope it's large print.
It's large print. No, it's not. But we can get you one. Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Father, thank you for this day, the celebration of this day, the joy of this day. Father, we pray for the challenges that you present to us this day, that they would become real and that you would give us strength for the journey. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org.
www.thewordofgod.org or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.